The information in this skill is provided for informational and educational purposes only. Welcome, and thank you for listening to the Multiple Sclerosis Flash Briefings. When your relapsing multiple sclerosis begins to change, how you treat it should change too. Think beyond relapses and choose a treatment that can help delay disability progression. Find out more at changesinrms.com.
My name is Jennifer Powell. I am a columnist with Multiple Sclerosis News Today. Today, I will be discussing how MS-related fatigue has been identified as a main factor in affecting work ability. Fatigue, whether alone or in combination with depression or anxiety, is the main influencing factor of self-reported working ability among people with relapsing remitting multiple sclerosis and mild disability, according to a study in the Netherlands. Notably, contrary to the researchers' expectations, personality traits were found to have no effect on a patient's working difficulties when corrected for known MS-related influencing factors. These findings highlight the importance of managing fatigue and mood to optimize relapsing-remitting MS patients' ability to work, the researchers said, noting that such symptoms can potentially be treated or dealt with to improve work ability. Still, future studies using both subjective and objective measures of occupational functioning and looking at other factors would likely add some relevant insights into these associations. The study, Self-Reported Occupational Functioning in Persons with Relapsing-Remitting Multiple Sclerosis, Does Personality Matter?, was published in the Journal of the Neurological Sciences. Research shows that the rates of unemployment among people living with MS are as high as 80%. Those who continue to work may experience various work difficulties due to physical, psychological, cognitive, and external work barriers, the investigators wrote. As such, identifying the main factors affecting MS patients' employment is key for the development of appropriate and effective strategies to overcome the working difficulties these individuals face. One previous study identified patients' personality traits as an influencing factor of unemployment risk in MS. The main personality trait cited include neuroticism, a negative or anxious personality, extroversion, defined as having a social and positive personality, and openness, or an open-minded and creative personality, agreeableness, or having a cooperative and friendly personality, and conscientiousness, defined as responsible and organized personality, were the other key traits cited. According to previous research, MS patients exhibit higher levels of neuroticism and lower levels of extroversion and conscientiousness, similar to the distressed personality type, type D, than their healthy peers. Type D personality is characterized by the tendency to experience negative emotions, while simultaneously showing the tendency not to express these emotions. This type of personality, or its corresponding traits, have been linked not only to severe negative health-related outcomes, such as worse quality of life, depression, anxiety, and fatigue, but also to unemployment. Now a team of researchers from institutes across the Netherlands evaluated the effects of the five personality traits in several self-reported occupational outcomes of 241 adults with RRMS and 60 healthy adults who served as controls. Occupational outcomes included work status, number of hours absent due to MS, the influence of MS symptoms in work productivity, the time that physical and emotional problems impact work, workability compared with lifetime best, work difficulties, and consideration to reduce work hours. The team hypothesized that type D associated personality traits would be linked with worse occupational outcomes in RRMS patients, and that personality would explain additional variability in these outcomes over known disease-related and demographic influencing factors. Evaluated influencing factors included MS-related disability, the use of immunomodulatory treatment, fatigue, depression, anxiety, cognitive processing speed, age, and gender. The MS patients involved in the study had a median age of 42 and showed mild disability. They were recruited from the 16 MS outpatient clinics in the context of the MS at Work study, a 3-year study of work participation in adults with RRMS in the Netherlands. All of the participants underwent neuropsychological and neurological examinations and completed validated questionnaires. The results showed that RRMS patients reported significantly fewer working hours, poorer productivity and workability, and more work difficulties relative to healthy individuals. They also had significantly more personality traits suggestive of type D, more depression, anxiety, and fatigue, and slower cognitive processing speed. To the researchers' surprise, however, personality traits were not significantly associated with occupational functioning among the RRMS patients when accounting for MS-related disability, the impact of fatigue, depression, anxiety, and cognitive processing speed. The fact that the current study included only RRMS patients who had shorter disease duration and milder disability than participants in previous studies, which included individuals with progressive MS, may help explain the delta. They noted that further studies should evaluate the potential influence of personality traits and those worse outcomes among MS patients with more advanced and/or progressive disease, and also include more objective measures of those work-related outcomes. Notably, the perceived impact of fatigue was found to be the main and most significant influencing factor of patients' work outcomes, explaining most variance in occupational functioning. Worse fatigue was significantly associated with a higher chance of missing work, greater impact of MS symptoms on work productivity, and lower workability. No other factors were found to significantly contribute to patients' working difficulties. These findings suggest that in people living with RRMS, the impact of fatigue and mood contribute more in explaining occupational functioning than age, gender, use of immunomodulatory treatment, MS-related disability, and information processing speed. These results are clinically relevant in the management of fatigue and mood, are of the utmost importance in optimizing occupational functioning in persons with MS, and as these symptoms can potentially be treated or dealt with during personalized rehabilitation and coaching, extremely important, the researchers wrote. Still, the evaluated factors could not totally explain the variability in work outcomes in RRMS patients, emphasizing the need to additionally examine other contextual factors when considering occupational challenges in MS, the researchers concluded.
You always do what you can to keep your relapsing multiple sclerosis in check. But if your relapsing MS is starting to change, it can affect your mind and body in new and different ways. So it's important to choose a treatment that goes beyond relapses, one that can help you stay ahead of disability progression. Take charge of your relapsing multiple sclerosis. Learn more at changesinrms.com.
Hi, I'm Price Wooldridge. As a rare neuromuscular disorder patient myself, I enjoy reading the column by John Connor, Fall Down, Get Up Again. For any younger readers, and by that I mean I'm guessing 45 and under, may I present the cartoon character Popeye the Sailor Man. He got himself out of scrapes by downing a can of spinach, which supercharged his muscles. There was none of that nonsense of destalking raw young leaves and adding a drizzle of walnut oil and a pinch of sea salt before tossing it into a crunchy, yummy side salad. That would have taken far too long when he was being abattered. A 2018 study published in the journal Scientific Reports noted that, quote, approximately 3 out of 4 MS subjects are affected by bilateral upper limb dysfunction. Mine began the moment I had my first infusion of Lemtrada, or alemtuzumab, 5 years ago. Overnight, my right hand immediately started cramping up. This continued to spread until my entire arm was affected. The inexorable demyelination of my neurons has now put my arm into a constant state of flex. Without an inordinate quantity of drugs to relax it, I would be in incessant screaming agony. I know this because I was, until all of the following drugs were prescribed. Here goes. Gabapentin. I'm now on the maximum dose, due to it also working on one of my other comorbidities induced by MS, trigeminal neuralgia. This is a bonus for both conditions. Similarly harmonious is baclofen. Finally, I also have diazepam, which is perhaps better known by its older brand name, Valium. This drug was originally prescribed to deal with the regular spasms of my arm, which reduced me into a weeping mess. Then I found that if I took the maximum dose every night, my right arm would become somewhat usable the next day. Actually, this occurred during a recent hospital stay. I no longer had control of my drugs, and they kept offering me 2 capsules every night. This was real bliss, as the constant shouting of a few of the distressed and confused patients simply faded into the darkness. At this point, diazepam no longer reduced me to a puddle the next morning. I was becoming used to it, or technically, tolerant. However, I'd only been prescribed the maximum dose of 2 5-milligram capsules in extremis, such as during a spasm. I phoned my doctor, as it was about time to fess up. Immediately, my behavior changed, and I started taking just 1 dose every second day, at most. A warning of possible dementia as a side effect was enough for me. Diazepam is also supposed to be habit-forming. If you enjoy nights of total oblivion, it's the drug for you. I prefer having dreams in which I at least get to walk, or even run around. Never flying, though, which is a tad prosaic. So why the Popeye reference? I got quite morose. Okay, depressed. Last weekend, when I tried to put a stocking and foot wraps on my left leg. This is for another of my MS-derived comorbidities, lymphedema. A few months ago, I could just about do this. Well, I managed this time, but only barely. Then I realized that I was no more disabled than before. It's just that my right arm could no longer bend as far because its muscles were in an even greater state of flex. Because I can hardly use that arm, my gun should have shrunk. But I realized that it actually was bigger than I had ever managed in all my years of sport. That's my MS Popeye spinach hypothesis. That constant constriction of my arm is building up the muscle. There's plenty of references on the internet to MS causing muscles to shrink. But I couldn't find any causing the opposite effect. I like spinach, but I really don't down cans of it.
The information in our flash briefings and podcasts are provided for informational and educational purposes only. Be sure to tune in daily to Multiple Sclerosis News Today for the latest news and perspectives regarding the disease. Discover more content that might be of interest to you at www.multiplesclerosisnewstoday.com. And be sure to follow us on social media and join our Multiple Sclerosis News Today forums, a trusted MS community ready to welcome you anytime.